Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
Yes, you are. Happy holidays. It's me. I'm John. Sex. All right.
John Sex is your name.
We're going to get a lot of listens. Hashtag John Sex. Please tell me that's how hashtags work, right? I just got to say hashtag and then we get a bunch of hits.
I think that's how that works.
Oh, fuck. Anyway.
And welcome to our annual Christmas special. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right there. Eggnog, your spiked eggnog is...
You know what? Can you pull the original Christmas version I made for the theme and use it for this?
Yeah. Yeah. I still have it. I think I've used it the last 3 years.
On the air, so you have to do it again for the fourth time in a row.
I mean, I could force you to make something else right now as it's on the air. After the fact.
All right. I need some. This is going to be the new theme. Hey, everybody, it's Christmas time. It's time to get drunk and kind of queer. We're going to fuck everyone and have a sexy, droopy, sloppy, goopy time. I've been drinking mezcal. All right.
Thinking about things you see in your room.
Yeah, my mezcal, Christmas decorations, which I'm about to put up tonight because I'm drunk enough. And my wall of cum. Anyway, so moving on.
This year, we will review rare exports. As always, John will give us the fun 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we'll go back to Steve Corder. We're reviewing from season 3, episode 10, Revelation chapter 2. Boy, do we got a lot to talk about this episode. Do you want to just start with the...
Boy, do we have a lot to talk about this episode.
I feel like Boyd is the least interesting part of this episode.
That's insane, right? Like, because he's still interesting, but it's like, I agree. Something that you talked about last episode that I'm like completely on board with is like Elgin's character, they just made too stupid too quickly.
Right, yeah. I have to agree.
We wouldn't get Sarah Myers like full. I don't want to say 180. I just think she's like sick of it, and she's like, nobody's gonna fuck with the people I care about now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially this black guy. No, I'm just kidding. I am white Sarah Myers. No, I'm just joking. She's excellent. I fucking love her, and Elgin's doing that actor's doing a fucking great job too.
Where did we leave off? He was being tortured by Boyd, and Boyd was about to torture him into confessing where Fatima is, and he is unable to go through with it, so Sarah rips out one of his eyes.
Yeah,
which everybody online probably at this point has pointed out that since he's one-eyed now, that he is exactly like the soldier, and with the one eye. And there was another guy drinking out of a skull, or something that also had one eye.
That Jade saw, so, right? Yeah.
I think it's gonna. There's a lot of like duality now. That's what they're doing is like the people who have been there are returning, not. I doubt it's going to be everybody is like kind of being reincarnated, but the important characters.
Yeah.
And I think we know who the important characters are now going forward. Because to me, this episode felt like a bit of they finally revealed big stuff, but then it's also like a soft reboot on some of the things because they kind of want to just focus in on these characters, the most interesting characters, and then kind of go from there, from the show. Because I think Boyd, this episode gets the picture of the Polaroid, and it's of the home he was supposed to retire in, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they... Somebody pointed out that the boat on whatever, like Reddit or whatever, they pointed out that, that there's no boat in the picture. So maybe that's another way off this place, is that his boat... He did bring his boat is there may be not maybe not his boat, but there may be a boat now involved.
So, pretty wild theory.
That's a wild theory, yeah.
No, I mean I'm gonna give you a
pretty your own wild theory. Yeah.
So you know how we're very aware that time works very differently in this place?
Mm-hmm.
What if this is all an extreme capitalistic endeavor, and all these people keep forgetting, because time works differently here, that this is a timeshare.
A literal time travel share.
Yeah, yeah. Food for thought. I don't know.
So we should probably talk about what they finally revealed. What are those monsters? How do these monsters get created? We know now.
Because they asked for it, right? So they killed they sacrificed their children.
Right.
To become these
To live forever. But yeah. So it's like monkey paw them, right? It's like they get to live forever, but they're basically soulless creatures that live in the ground during the day and come out at night. Don't eat, yeah. don't whatever. They just hunt people or whatever. They're just there forever.
And because
they sacrifice children.
Potentially a handful of people that decided they didn't want this anymore because of their kids and keep getting reincarnated and coming back.
Well, see, this is where I think they... this is the part I'm saying, like, they soft rebooted it, because it's clearly set up that if you look at the characters of Tabitha and Jim... They lost a child, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? That story detail is like, you can already see that's like it's in place, but I don't think that they decided to get rid of Jim this episode and introduce, you know, Jim dies. I think Jim's dead.
I'm assuming, right? Because so that's the very end of the episode. Jim gets slashed by... It's not one of these things. It's something different. It's
right. It's the man he...
Yeah. Oh, sorry, what?
It's literally the man he talked to in season one on the radio.
Oh, right. Yes. That makes... Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get a... what's her name? Julie. But it's clearly not the Julie that we've been following. It's like a Julie from the future because the hair is completely different.
She had scars on her face, which I think...
She's a little bit older, yeah.
I hate that.
And she keeps talking about like, oh no, because I think this is when this happens. So I'm like, okay, what are the rules of this place then? Like if this is a continuous time loop, then how many times has Jim died? How many times has Jim come here? Like, okay.
Yeah. That part didn't really... Yeah, that part didn't interest me. I don't like it's kind of cool that they're going to do time travel stuff, but the way it's still just kind of like, look, it's Julie from the future. She's wearing a wig. She has scars on her face, so she's really clearly from someone. She's clearly from another time. Like, I hate that. But that could mean that that we may have a time jump when we come back, right? So then, therefore, things are definitely going to be reset.
Which I think the anchoring point's going to be Scott McCord, Victor.
Right. Because I feel like they want to. Because the part of the soft reboot that I'm referring to is the fact that Tabitha and Jade now are a couple, and that's going to go down because supposedly Jade and Tabitha are. Have always been the most sensitive, most connected to this place, and uncovering the larger mysteries of it. And now we know why, because they were a couple in a past life that didn't want to give up their kids, didn't want to sacrifice their kids, right?
Or I'm trying to figure out if they did, they were a part of this idea, but were unaware of what the price was, and then try to like save their kids, and they keep getting... I'm assuming they get killed, but since they're a part of this whole deal, they can't die. Which we finally found, right, with the Smiley character, right? So the Smiley character who died with the Squirmies, were like, oh, he's dead. He's dead forever. And there was like a theory on Reddit where like the reason all the other, like, whatever these things are, now we know that they were humans at one point, were upset because they were under the impression that you can't die. But then fucking Fatima gave birth to Smiley and Smiley got reincarnated. Which is a pretty cool moment, I guess, right? So Boyd's aware that this is what's happening, and he's like, fuck, like, how do we fucking do this now? Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to get a handful of characters that... And I'm assuming this is why they've divided the town people from the farmhouse people, right? What is the farmhouse called? The village people? Just kidding.
No, they used to be a something house, right? They were the...
The Soho House. No, I'm just kidding.
They stopped referring to this as this name this past season. It's not, has been less relevant, but yeah, they did have a clearer division, yes.
And I'm guessing that's kind of what has always been the case. They kind of mentioned like Boyd and Donna decided to do this at some point, but I'm going to assume that this has always been the case every time this has happened. So I think like, but now we're dealing with like Boyd and Donna are on the same page, and I think these are all people that potentially decided against becoming these things or like losing their kids forever.
So I kind of was suspect of the fact that they, Tabitha and Jade, in another life lost a little girl, and I think that's what that Unkui kid, the girl with the half hair or whatever, that probably was their kid in another life. So I think Tabitha and Jade were part of probably the first group. And I like what you're saying because it actually adds to the thought of like duality. Like, because they get reborn, right? And they return to this place just the same way the Smiley guy returned too. He got reborn there too. So it's like they are forever tied to this place because of whatever happened,
right?
Whatever, hundreds of years ago or whatever.
And there was
that's an interesting thought.
Something I didn't notice was at the beginning when Jade first entered the place, he had one of those charm bracelets that Tabitha
has. Okay.
And I saw a still and I was like, oh shit. And somebody's like, no, I just think like he had a bracelet, but I don't know. That's too coincidental. Like, that's very specific costuming or propage or whatever. So I think Boyd's wife understood that, and that's why she kept killing people, and that's why she ultimately decided to like get killed too, because she understood this is the only way we get out of this place and we can live our life for a little while before we have to come back. So I think a big reveal in the next season is going to be Boyd's wife as somebody else coming into town, or she's already in the town and he's unaware. It would be really annoying if it was Julie, by the way, but yes.
So we haven't quite figured out, like, because there's also a theory that that Martin, the guy that was tied up, is Randall.
Oh man!
Because they both heard the cicadas or whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, they both heard the cicadas. So the other two people that he had was tied up with died, who we don't know, but are, we can say, reincarnated as Julie and what's the other girl? Mari.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be great, yeah. I'm also glad that Randall didn't fucking zap his brain.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's like, no, it's so annoying. Like, don't. Yeah, a lot happened in this episode. So Phantom gave birth to that thing.
Right.
Elgin was convinced that, like, no, you don't understand. This is the only way to save everybody. And it's like, that's why Sarah came back and is into the fold again.
That's what I mean. Like, that's the hardest leap of logic I have with the show, is that, like, we as an audience, it's like, I hate when shows, when the audience is ahead of the characters. Does that make sense? Like, because we know since episode one, when we saw the grandma on the roof that tempted the kid and then, like, massacred her, we know that these things kill you, right? They're there to hurt you and manipulate you. So why isn't that just, like, plainly explained to the next group of people that come? Like, these fucked up shit here. Don't trust anything other than the people in this room.
I think, like, it even got to Fatima, right? At one point, because she couldn't, like, focus on her thoughts. So I think Sarah Myers understood she was getting fucked over, but couldn't explain that to anybody because she got, you know, ousted. She was an outcast, like a pariah. And then Elgin came in, and because he just wants to help, kind of like Sarah, but nobody was there to be like, hey, this other chick went fucking batshit crazy too. Like, don't do that, because he wasn't as vocal about it. He was like real secretive because he thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense, but I just feel like there should be very obvious that not to trust anything about this place.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, at this point, we're like fucking three seasons in.
I'm also wondering if, I'm going to assume the writers are really intelligent people, and like Sarah Myers and Elgin are like a separate, like a third group of people that try to help and keep making things worse. And they keep coming back too.
Yeah, I would say like, not everybody. My thing is, I don't think everybody's going to be like somebody. We're just going to focus like on a core 6-7 people that are this, have a bigger connection to this place.
That makes total sense. I think it's just like, in general, if you're driving in these like back road areas, you're probably not alone.
Right.
So it's just this, the way that this place gets the people it needs back in there.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of skipped to the end. It was, what did you think of the man in yellow?
The man in yellow. Oh, the guy that talked to Jim in season one?
Right. Yeah, the guy at the end of this episode. He kind of, you know, comes out from the forest.
It's like a lot of questions. It's like a lot of like, okay, so Julie's fucking running away from this guy. This man in yellow is fully aware of how time works here, and he heard the fucking violin thing play. So apparently music's very important here, especially because of the music box, blah, blah, blah.
Well, Jim is the one that actually solved the thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. But
so that's why, probably that's why he got killed. Jim has always been the one that's been wanting to know more and pushing to escape.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but it also really felt like Julie was running away from this thing from the future, her future, and led this guy straight to Jim. You know what I mean?
Because he had
just had this conversation with Tabitha, who is having an existential crisis, rightfully so, because she's fully aware that she remembers her past lives now.
Right.
Which I fucking called Rolando. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if you recall last episode, I was like, oh, is she this person too? And you were like, no. And I was like, I don't know, from rules. I'm just kidding. That was just luck of the draw on my part. But yeah, the man in yellow, I don't understand how, so something that's that bad can be around during the day and has never popped up, and now it's going to pop up. Does that mean everybody's like fucked all the time? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's definitely a change now. But something Reddit pointed out was Victor's mom had a painting of a man in yellow suit in her. So this is clearly foreshadowed. Well, you know, and the writers have kind of thought they have definitely big plans. I think this is probably going to be. It's hard to tell. But he could be somebody that, I don't know if he gets involved with the town. He couldn't get involved with the town. He could separate them because he knows so much about this place. Because it sounds like, because remember, they have to like sacrifice people too, right? That's that the whole thing, gimmick here is they want you to sacrifice people, like the kids.
So, yeah, I feel like a big part of the first season with Sarah Myers was trying to be convinced to sacrifice Ethan, right?
Right.
He's a kid. But now he's not a kid, right? He's more of like a worm. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm not trying to make fun of chubby kids. He's just obviously aging very quickly.
Who knows? Maybe we won't see this guy again for another. He'll just be whatever in the forest. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of questions got brought up. I mean, I thought it was a great episode. I will say my favorite part was Scott McCord and Robert Joy, right? Victor and Victor's dad. They have a conversation, and it was like, oh my God, that was like my favorite scene. It was like, I kept like fawning over, like, man, I'm like, God, Scott McCord is fucking great.
Oh,
and now I'm gonna remember his name forever. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
just a quick detail to that is in that scene, clearly they're setting up that Victor's sister is not dead. Because
I was questioning that, yeah.
Because he says something to the effect like, I buried the mom here and I buried, you know, my sister or his sister, but there was very little of her left. So he doesn't even know, he's not even sure what he buried. He buried something. So I think that's the sort of wiggle room they have now to add Victor's sister to this.
Interesting. Do you think it's one of the people that's in the town again?
I don't know. Maybe she's hiding somewhere else. Maybe there's like a whole other group of people somewhere else here. I mean, who knows? Or
holy shit, that would sound. There's this other show that's a similar thing. I don't know if you're aware of this show. Called Lost. There was like two sides of an island.
It could.
Yeah. They could be the tailies. This could be connected to Lost. And I'd Harold Perrineau's character is reincarnated as Boyd.
I don't know. I think she's alive. I think it pretty much the way they said it pretty much leaves it open that the sister's alive. Probably be close to his age, so it'll be an older person.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Where is she? I don't know. Maybe she escaped. I don't know. Maybe she's coming back.
Or. No, that doesn't make sense, right? Does it? Or. Wow, wild theory. Tabitha is like the third reincarnation of Victor's mom. No, I don't know. I'm thinking that this is going to hurt my brain thinking about this.
I think Tabitha is a reincarnation of Victor's mom.
So, yes, right? So, I mean, I'm saying yes, but it's like hurting my brain to think about. Robert Joy is still Victor's dad, but Victor's been there since. It's like, oh my God. It's hurting my head.
Robert Joy hit that, Tabitha.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. No, but I think there's going to be a time jump because they need to, like, there's no way they're going to spend any like serious amount of time on a relationship between Tabitha and Jade. They're just going to like forward it.
No,
that's why I don't think.
Because Jade's gay, right? Like, it's not.
I thought it was.
No, I think it's pretty established, right? That this reincarnation of Jade is gay. And well, no, literally wants nothing to do with anybody in the town. He's very anti having friends in the town. Like, his only friend was Kenny's mom. Like, that was about it.
The bartender.
Oh, that's true. Too. That's true. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There's a. I would say I
was annoyed by how much I didn't really like this season, but I'm like, all right, come on, fucking give me the next one.
Well, yeah, of course we're going to stick with it. I mean, I don't think it's completely, I think this was a very more mixed than the previous season.
You don't think it's completely lost?
No. was it, I think it was like, there's very, they progress the story forward, but like, I wasn't always, this is very mixed. I'm very mixed on this episode. Because.
And I'm also realizing that this whole season, I think, was also a hard product of the writer's strike.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm all the same writers, but I'm sure, like, it's not like they stopped writing, but they had a lot of other shit to deal with.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I never heard anything about how the writer's strike affected the show, per se, but it must have, I guess. I mean, we don't know.
It postponed the season by, like, a year. Luckily, that's not going to happen. Oh, shit.
Well, I think they
tend shit, to, next season's not coming out to 2026.
I think they've always done this. We just haven't been aware of it. They've always taken 12 to 16 months between seasons. So sorry, my cat came in. He needs to use the bathroom. So yeah.
Hey, Annie, no names.
So yeah.
Okay, so that's from.
She couldn't wait. So yeah, it's clearly she's not a fan of From.
Annie, what's your review of From episode 10, Revelations chapter 2?
It's poop.
Shit. Oh shit! Okay,
it's a lot of it.
It's like I don't fully disagree. No, but I did. I mean, it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, of course the last episode is going to be like pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I kind of felt like it was things. I'll be low-key honest. I did not expect Spider-Man coming back. That's not what I expected to be born again. So it was a weird, surprise. Right? Yeah, yeah, very well done. Surprise for the show.
So the man in yellow is the voice of Sid in the Umbrella Academy, which I think is the. I don't remember. Anyway, he's a voice actor. Apparently, he's very celebrated.
Yeah. So, also, I don't like how I get. Julie is now a type. What do they call it? Storyteller now, but she can't change the story. I don't like how Ethan explained that. Like, I didn't like the way any of that was delivered. Maybe Ethan is the.
Oh, damn! Are you gonna hate the movie we're gonna review today? Because technically,
I didn't understand it without the captions. So, yeah.
Well, you gotta give it this. At least it was a finished movie.
Man, my cat's still going. Jeez, you know, what a review.
She's got a lot of shit to get out.
She does. This must be her pooping time. We are, just so everybody knows, we're recording this later than we usually do, so on a different day. So this is technically her time, I guess.
It's just like Thursday is my new date night. So Rolando and I used to have something called date night in college because I'm sure we've explained this before. But we were on relationships, and somehow each of our significant others at one point was like, no, you boys go on your fucking date night.
Yeah, exactly. I think we were all single at the same time too, at one point.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you done? She's done, but I closed the door. She's just stuck in here. She's gonna have to hear the whole review. But yeah, no, I mean, I think I'm, you know, we're going to watch season four. I would say overall, season three is probably the weakest.
Yeah.
Very inconsistent season. Really happy that they finally started explaining things.
I was about to get upset because I thought they were going to kill Boyd.
No, I think Boyd's safe. He's not dying.
I thought Boyd was going down there to meet his demise because they reintroduced his Parkinson's, which is like giving him a time limit. I'm also right. aware that Harold Perrin, who is an executive producer on the show.
Yeah. There won't be no lost stuff where he gets written out. Yeah. All right. What are your last thoughts for From?
Yeah, I agree. Probably the weakest season. Hell of a last episode, though.
Mm-hmm.
Got me excited again, which kind of annoyed me because I was like, I kind of figured this was going to happen.
Well, that's the Walking Dead trick, right? Where it's like the first episode's really good, the last episode's really good. There's the whole in between that's just garbage.
Just kidding.
They did that for like 13 seasons or something, where it's just like the first episode's good, the whole other season's trash, and then the last episode's good.
Pretty much. Except for when his name is Chad Coleman. You know that actor? He had a really fucking amazing story arc. And there's something about The Walking Dead. I know we're not talking about From, but where The Walking Dead, they do certain things where you're like, oh, you're going to fucking kill off this character now, aren't you? You fuckers. And the episode they killed off Chad Coleman wasn't necessarily like that. He got bit at the beginning of the episode. And then it was like probably one of the most beautiful episodes of television I've ever watched. It's like that and the one, I know everybody talks about it, the one with what's his name? Megan Mullally's husband, Nick Offerman, and in Last of Us.
The Last of Us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really, really sweet episode.
Yeah.
We haven't really gotten that in this show.
Yeah, it's true.
There's no attaching to characters, really. But yeah.
No, yeah, you're right about that. It hasn't quite hit those heights.
Except for what's his TV. Name? Gary? No. Daryl? No. Donna's husband in real life?
Oh, yeah, Dale. Dale.
I was sad. I basically treated that like it was an episode like that, even though he's obnoxious. I'm like, ah. Oh.
Well, I mean, this is just TV. It's not HBO, so.
It's true.
All right. We are ready to move on?
Yes.
All right. Let's move over to our main review of Rare Exports. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes, I was going to say Rare Exports starring Sisu. Just kidding. What? Okay, I've told you. I'm going to. No, let me do the plot summary and then. Anyway. For Rare Exports, coming in at number 3 for my plot summary, Child's Christmas Sack blows up.
Okay.
Coming in at number 2 for Rare Exports, it is now a musical. Santa is Baby, it? Don't kill me.
Is that 5 words?
Yeah, no, definitely. And coming in at number 1 for Rare Export, Jingle Bells, Killer Elves, Rock.
Very nice.
So Rare I've told you for, I don't know, I think
20
I said
years?
It last year for sure. I was like, we should do it. Because yeah. I watch this movie like every year for Christmas. it wasn't until this year, I guess, because Sisu didn't come out till last year, late last year, early this year. No. When was it? I don't know. But I was like, oh fuck, that's Sisu. And I was very excited because I really like the movie Sisu.
Which actor is in it?
The dad. The main dad.
The main dad. Because I'm not quite sure.
Jorma.
Oh, Sisu. Yeah, yeah. He did look familiar. He's almost playing the same character. Survivor.
I mean, yeah, kind of indestructible. And it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, I always forget that the dad's like kind of jacked. And I was like, wait a second, that's Sisu.
It's true.
Got very excited. What'd you think? What'd you think about this honest telling of Christmas lore before we got the Coca-Cola version of Santa Claus?
I would say I really liked it. I think it was clever. It was clever enough. It was fun. It was fun, like, inversions and twists, you know, on the Santa lore. And there's a bigger twist at the end that I did not see coming, honestly.
It's all about capitalism.
A lot of male old men genitalia, which is fine. And it felt like, I think the filmmakers did a great job of invoking sort of, you know, holiday movies, E.T. movies with the kids. They felt very authentic or from that type of movie, the way they're the brothers and stuff, while the adults are played more like starkly, more grounded, more real, you know, about the situation and stuff.
Jamari Helander, right? So this is a Finnish movie. He's from Finland. Did two shorts that I have not seen before this that incorporate more of, what is it, Sub-Zero or Below Zero exports or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about kind of more of the lore behind all this, and then he made it into a feature film and it just like worked spectacularly, I think.
Yeah, I would say this. This movie works. I'm assuming the short does work too, because it's a pretty fun idea.
Trying to figure out what would be a spoiler, because what doesn't happen at the end also doesn't happen in these shorts either.
Right.
Which,
okay.
I think was supposed to leave it open ended, like it was supposed to have like a sequel where things get really bad, but it just never happened because this movie came out in 2010.
You're right. Yeah. So I think around this time I wasn't watching movies. I was doing my sabbatical, so I had heard about it, but I just never watched it.
Yeah.
So it's a blind spot for me. But I was well aware of it. You know what I mean? Like sort of the idea of not really like it. Well, I guess an evil Santa Claus, right? That's not a spoiler. It's pretty.
No, and it's also, if you have ever read the lore of the idea of Santa Claus in different cultures before we got the Coca-Cola version, right?
Right.
That's mm-hmm. Santa Claus everybody thinks of is Coca-Cola fucking made that up.
Mm-hmm.
Was always like, oh, let me, you know, reward good people. And then I think everybody has this idea of like Krampus, which has always been around too, is like, let me punish bad people. But Santa Claus was also like, oh, let me punish bad people too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of fun because they briefly go into that. Like this kid, the main kid, who's a fucking dweeb and a nerd. No, I'm just kidding. Because his room is like littered with books. But it's also like, I don't know what part of Finland this is, but they are in a very remote, snowy area. Like you don't see any sort of land at all. So I'm sure there's not anything to do. And I'm sure they don't get any sort of reception for like television.
Kind of like Portland or like Oregon. <Just kidding. laughs> No.
But yeah, so he's reading up on it, and he's like, I think there's a... He's going through Santa's history and seeing that he's kind of like, I don't want to say evil, but he punishes people very severely, like to the point of death, especially kids. And they show Santa has horns, and because he doesn't want to see that, he starts to like color over it, making like a Santa hat, because he doesn't want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he doesn't want to. He, I think he believes that this is real, but doesn't want to see it so badly that he's got like an advent calendar. Plug, we reviewed a movie called Advent Calendar. And he doesn't want to see that so badly, so the 24th door, he doesn't want to open it because he's afraid Santa's going to appear, so he tapes it at one point. He staples it. But then lo and behold, he has to go to a hangar that they built, and it's got a big 24 on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Reindeer are food in this, apparently.
So who drives the sleigh?
You know, don't need that shit. Just kind of, I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's... I really did like that. It's pretty funny. It's kind of like a dark comedy, fantasy, yeah, horror movie, I guess, right? Because they're... I thought the first scene was really funny because it's like... He's this old man or whatever finds the burial spot for Santa Claus and wants to gonna dig him up, and he's like, here, I made some rules, like don't swear, don't do this, don't do that, basically like the list.
Because what was it, like he has been dreaming of this since he was like a kid, like this has been his life's goal. Like
find Santa Claus. Really funny setup. But yeah, it was very good. A lot of action, a lot of violence, for the most part.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do understand. I keep forgetting that there is a lot of kind of story that, you know, honestly, I don't really care about. But there's, you know, these families and neighbors or whatever, which is really just men and sons for whatever reason. There's like no women in this movie at all.
There is no women. Yeah, you're right about that.
I'm not sure. I feel like that's intentional, but whatever.
It would have made it real gay. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
right. No. And Santa thinks that's evil. No,
just about the boys and the men. Yeah. So nothing gay about that.
How they all have the same sort of profession where they wrangle up reindeer and then ship them off to like different parts of... they're close enough to where they're at and make a lot of money off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And how all the reindeer got like eaten and killed, and they rough estimated that they lost like $85,000. And they set up a trap because they're assuming that these wolves are killing these reindeer, but you find out that it's a
bunch spoiler
of- oh no, the spoiler is something else. Not
there's a couple of spoilers. That's a big one. That's the, I think, the best one. But
oh, because I wasn't sure if that was a spoiler, just because like there's so many human feet in, like on top of roofs and shit like that, and like when they go and investigate the dead reindeer, there's like human footprints everywhere. I'm like, oh well, okay, obviously this is.
Well, I didn't think it was. I mean, I didn't think it was that spoiler you said.
I said gnomes.
I thought, based on what I had seen, that they had captured Santa Claus.
Oh, which they could have. I don't know.
No, but they didn't. They say they captured. Wait, are we in spoilers?
I don't know. That's why I'm being so ambiguous.
let's just say we're in spoilers.
Wait. No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. I've learned the folly, or should I say the holly, of my ways.
So they end up
We're spoilers, okay?
100% spoilers now. So then instead of catching, they catch an old man with the beard, very skinny old man.
And real fucked up. This is my favorite part. So there, the guy at the beginning who like tasks all these people to dig up what he thinks is a burial site for Santa Claus. All those guys at one point get picked off, but you don't see what's picking them off. And then Jorma, I think is his real name, sets up a trap to catch the wolves, and he like there's this whole sequence where his son doesn't want to see him slaughtering a pig for whatever reason, and hangs a pig's head as bait, and they catch something, and then they realize it's a human, and they look at like his credentials, and what was found near him was actually one of the guys that the guy at the beginning had tasked to dig up Santa Claus's grave or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they just assume it's some guy that was born in like 1950 something.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide like, oh, well, our bad. I guess we got to do the only logical thing because we're butchers is to cut up his body. And then they realize he's still alive.
Yeah.
But I rather enjoyed that. I was like, oh, the only logical thing we could do is cut up the body, right? I don't
know. Yeah, because they killed him, but they thought they murdered him, so yeah.
Because it's, we totally murdered this guy who fell into a trap with the pig's head because he wanted to grab the pig's head.
Mm.
I don't know how that's their fault, but okay.
Well, they had said something like they can't build those traps or something. That was kind of like a plot point that like, oh, you know, you're not supposed to be building those traps and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't know how that would still make him culpable for...
Yeah, it seems like a very, like, unspoken rule there. It's not very, please don't dig up fucking the ground and put spikes in it, please.
Yeah, to kill wolves because random old white men might try to, like, they might fall in there, I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, like you said, like, I thought this was Santa the entire time. So I was like, oh, cool. This is like a weird take on Santa. So, but we find out that they're actually, I guess they figure out that they are, he's an elf. And they're the ones that are trying to free Santa. Basically just doing his work, doing his...
That was a pretty comical moment too. They are trying to leverage that they have Santa Claus... because they finally all believe, I forgot why they decided to believe this, but they're like, oh, should we fucking call Santa Claus? Let's talk to those guys, because that's clearly what the fuck they were doing up there, because they were upset, because they were under the impression that it was their fault that all the reindeer died.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they know that there's a big hole up there. They all went up there, because they were, Caesar was like, I'm going to fucking shoot these people. Very, very brash, toxic masculinity going on.
Right.
Go up there. There's nobody out there. So they just leave. And they're like, oh, shit. I think we caught Santa Claus. They're trying to leverage the guy with, like, hey, we got him. So, like, 85,000 or more, whatever, which covers their loss for the season of dead reindeer at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, the guy at the beginning of the movie goes up, looks at him, he's like, oh shit. Everybody smile. Act happy. Everything's fine. Like, what's your problem? He's like, this isn't Santa Claus, it's one of his helpers. They're like, Are you fucking with this? Just give us some money. He's like, No. Turn around, act happy. Put the guns away, act happy. And he immediately gets like a fucking pickaxe in his head. And then you see a bunch of naked old like men who are the elves, right, pop up out of nowhere. And then they run inside of the... This is where the kid didn't want to go inside, but there's a big 24, which would have been the 24th day of Christmas. So it's the day before Christmas. And they go inside and see that there's a big ice block. And he can see the horns coming out at the top, and they're like, oh, that's fucking Santa Claus stuck in this fucking ice block.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, what do we do? And the kid is like, this fucking dynamite, bro.
Fucking Dynamite, bro.
Fucking Dynamite, bro. All day, every day.
Classic movie line.
Don't even stress. I'll make sure it happens because I'm going to hang off of this net full of dynamite that you're going to fly into the air with a helicopter. Everybody's going to be cool with it.
Totally going to work.
That's always my favorite part. I was like, they just allowed this kid to hang off of this fucking big net of dynamite hanging from a helicopter.
I mean, well, he has a pretty badass dad, so I'm sure they're
fine with it. Oh, that's true. It's easier, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think at that point, I was slightly disappointed that we didn't see Santa Claus.
That's why I think they were trying to set up for a sequel.
There hasn't been one, right?
No, it never happened. Like, it just never got the funding.
So I guess it's more of just like 80s action, right? Like,
yeah. I think, because if Santa Claus got appeared, there would be no way to defeat it. Or it would be like a really dumb ending, how they beat him or something.
True.
The power of love saved the day, or some stupid bullshit like that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, well, I'd like the twist that they since they don't have any deer to export, they decide to rare export the elves, and they turn them into mall Santas, which I thought was super fun.
That was fucking hilarious, right? It's yeah. Like, oh, because what do? They trick all the elves into... One of the neighbors had set up some sort of electric fence thing to keep the reindeer in. And they're like, trick them into there, and then they're like stuck in there. And then they blow up Santa, which you never get to see. Because Sisu also like drilled like ice, whatever those ice drill things are, like sticks of dynamite. And they blow up Santa, and then the elves all of a sudden were like, there's like lines like, oh, they're out of a job now, and the elves are just wandering around aimlessly, these like naked old men, which is my favorite part, because like I can't imagine getting cast and like, oh, okay, you're because you're old and you can look like Santa, and you are going to be naked, by the way. Don't worry, everything's green screen. this is almost Polar Express, except it's real people. And they're like, okay, we're just gonna train them to be mall Santas, and how they're being like really militant about like, nah, don't do this and don't do that, even though these things can like snap a person in half, I think, but whatever.
Right, yeah.
And then they ship them off in a big crate, very Indiana Jones style.
Yeah. Big crate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I truly do like this movie a lot. Like, it's a lot of fun.
Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Christmas, like, this is a fun Christmas movie. Yeah, I think it's a fun Christmas movie. I had a lot of fun with it. It's very light, and it, you know, very light, kind of like nothing too serious, I guess.
Oh, we kind of glossed over the elves had been kidnapping the bad kids.
Right, and then his brother got kidnapped.
That's not even his brother, it's like his neighbor's kid.
Oh, I thought it was his brother.
No, it's like the neighbor's kid. That's what I'm saying. It's like a bunch of single dads with their sons. Except for the dude that dressed up like Santa. The guy that looks like a...
With the glasses, yeah.
Yeah, that he can be like in Mastodon or something. He just kind of looks like he's got...
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts, sir?
No. I've seen the movie like a thousand times.
Okay. All right, well, let's go in and rate it. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Rare Exports, with so many alternate titles, Ho 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 Bones out of 10.
Ho Ho Bones out of 10?
Yeah.
That's
a very magical type of...
Very good.
The Christmas spirit bones.
The Christmas spirit. I will give it seven solid candy canes. How about that? Yeah. Pretty much, like, I feel like once you see, like, a trailer of this movie, it's pretty much what you think. Except for the twist. I was surprised there was no Santa Claus. It was about the elves.
Oh, but there was Santa Claus. He just blew up.
That's true. True.
He was there. Sorry. I'm going to add one more thing. My favorite part was elves stole all the heaters from the town. Like, put them in there so they could melt the ice block and Santa was in quicker. So the elves understand electricity and they understand what heaters are and they understand what appliances are, but they don't understand clothes.
Yeah, makes sense. Cool. This technically will be our last episode of the year because of the way everything's 2024 is a garbage year, so it's going to be our technically last episode. Stay tuned for our next episode, which we will have our top five movies of 2024. Thank God this year's over. So, all right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky. Ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-s, you're all horrors.